know, before I get started today, I was just thinking, sitting there, what all it takes to make a Sunday morning happen here. And so grateful here at Bethel for all the people who serve week after week here to make Sunday possible, to where we can come in and enjoy the presence of God. Everybody from the parking lot to the greeters to the ushers to the people who make the coffee, so we can have both eyes open when we come in here to worship, right? To the children's department, our nursery. I was thinking about the worship team this morning. They get here around 7 a.m. There's probably some other things they could be doing, like sleeping on a Sunday morning. But they're here, and they're bringing us worship to lead us into the presence of God. And I just want to encourage you, as one of the pastors here, that, you know, if you're not serving somewhere, let me just encourage you to get involved in that way. That's one of the ways we worship, just as we worship God by lifting our hands and singing, and by serving is another way to do that. So I just want to encourage you to do that. Faith to live by, that's what we're going to talk to today. I've entitled this message, Dare to Believe. Dare to Believe. In a sense, God is telling us, when we're going through challenging times in our lives, that He's basically saying, I dare you to believe me. I remember when I was a little boy growing up and going to school, and, you know, there were some kids that didn't like me, and I didn't like them, right? So what we would do, we never would fight, but we would dare one another. And what would we do? We would draw a line, an imaginary line, and we would say, I dare you to step across that line. Praying all the time that the guy on the other side of the line would not step across, right? Right? But in spiritually speaking, when God says to us that I dare you to believe me, He's basically stating that He dares us to step into the things that He has for us. I dare you to step into the blessing that I want to give you. I dare you to step into your marriage being restored. I dare you to believe God that He's going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't contain. And that's what we want to talk about today. And I want to use the scripture out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I love this scripture. It's the faith chapter. All of our faith heroes is found in this passage of scripture. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. In other words, it is the assurance. It is the standing under of a title deed saying, I own this. This is mine. Nobody can take it from me. Last year, Nancy and I were blessed enough to pay off our house. Hallelujah. Now, I just want to tell you something. I didn't have much hope when we moved to Clarksville that we would be able to pay off our house. Almost 40 years ago, we bought our first little house, 750 square feet. Man, it was beautiful. It had velvet wallpaper, shag carpet. I mean, it was just a dream come true. It's where our daughter Deanna, we brought her home as a new baby. 750 square feet. We were 22, 23 years old. I'm thinking, okay, I don't want to live here the rest of my life. So we stayed there a couple of years, and we sold that little house, Pastor Richard, and then we moved to Murfreesboro, and we moved up to 1,100 square feet. Brand new siding house. I thought, man, I've died and gone to heaven. This is the greatest thing in the world. Well, after a few years, we made a little money on that house, and then we moved again. 1,350 square feet. I'm saying, Jesus is blessing us. We don't even deserve all of these blessings that He's given to us. We stayed there several years, and then we took a huge leap of faith, and we stepped into one that was 3,800 square feet. Then all the kids moved out, and we didn't need all that. Life is kind of backwards sometimes, isn't it? It's like you want to have the big house when you got all the children, but you can't afford the big house, right? Well, things were going good. You know, I was writing songs, and things were going good. And, man, we had a lot of equity built up from the houses that we had sold. And then in 2008, You know, you think that an investment in a house, you can't go wrong. Maybe in the market, right? But not in a house. But there was the house crash in 2008. Well, around 2009, 2010, the house that we had worked so hard for 40 years to build equity into, when God called us to come here to help Pastor Lance and Pastor Richard, it was not a good time to sell. Well, we couldn't qualify for anything here until we sold that house. Well, we sold it, but we lost 40 years almost of equity that we had built up. So we didn't have anything really to put down on a house here. So I'm thinking faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the assurance that something good is going to come my way out of all of this. I don't understand it all, but I know something good is going to come my way. Well, I had forgotten several years ago that Nancy and I put a little money in a mutual fund. I just forgot about it. When we got here, we bought the house, and I looked online, and I'm thinking, my Jesus, the market's gone crazy. Man, I started grinning with these pearly whites. Grinning like I had found money. I had found money. There was enough money in that IRA, and I drew it out at 62 because you can with no penalties, right? And not have to pay taxes. We paid off the house, paid off the cars. We don't owe nobody nothing. So I'm standing in faith, see. I got more title deeds than I know what to do with. But see, Nancy and I, we've always given. We're believers that see, just little adjustments in life can make all of the difference in the world for you. We were watching Darcy in a golf tournament last week, and my goodness, she's good. 14 years old. I used to beat her in golf. I can't beat her anymore. She won second place in the tournament. Man, she was tearing it up. But there was a little problem in her golf swing. And I told Pastor Lance, I said, have you noticed this? He said, oh, yeah, I've seen it. And it was just one little adjustment that she needed to make. She had the ball too far back in her stance on her drive. Now, I know y'all don't, you know, I don't have a professional golf swing. But so anyhow, Pastor Lance said, Darcy, you need to move the ball up in your stance. Now, for you that play golf, you understand that. The driver's the biggest club in the bag, right? So she moved it up in her stance and scored like a 79. It's just unbelievable for a 14-year-old. Won second place in the tournament. It's just like that in life. See, things that we can do, just little adjustments in our walk with God can make a difference. Simple things like, I'm going to give even when it hurts. I'm going to give because Jesus said, I dare you to do it. He said, some of you have robbed me in your giving, right? Some of you have robbed me in your tithe and offering. He said, but I dare you. If you'll have faith to give, right, then I'm going to open the windows of heaven for you, and I'm going to pour you out a blessing. Test me in this is what Jesus is saying. Test me in this. Now, this is not a message on giving. I did want to throw that in there just for you. It's a message on hope. A message on hope. The assurance and the confidence that something good is going to come your way. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to look around us today and see a lot of hopelessness. It's everywhere. With what's happening in our schools, even in our churches, in our restaurants. Jenny was alluding to it today. There's sadness all over the world. People looking for something good to come their way. You know, it's easy to look at someone and see. You can look into the eyes. The Bible says that the eyes are the window of the soul. And you can look into the eyes of people and you can see if they're hopeless. And it's easy to see that. all around us. You know, it's a known fact today that we were not created to live without hope. God didn't create us to live without hope. We can go a little while without food. We can go a little while without water. But we were never meant to go without and live without hope. We lose our house, we can replace it, right? If we lose our job, we'll find a way to replace it. If we lose our car or cars, we'll find a way to replace it. But we were never meant to lose our hope. I'm reminded of, sometimes I don't know why I watch the news, but I do. And just later in the year, last year, of all the hurricanes that came through and destroyed people's lives, destroyed their homes. Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Maria was three of the big ones. I know that my mom back in, oh, I forget what year it was, 1987, survived a hurricane down in South Carolina that came over 100 miles inland. She survived that. But I think one of the hurricanes that everybody probably would remember was the one in New Orleans, Hurricane Katrina, where they had video of people on their roofs, and they were just trying to survive. And this one African-American lady, they had her on the news, and she was smiling. I'm thinking, what is going on here? They're showing all of this devastation in New Orleans. And as they began to interview this lady, they said, why are you smiling? You've lost everything. She said, well, I may be homeless, but I'm not hopeless. She had faith. She had faith that somehow something good was going to come her way. I got a feeling she knew that old song, Evan, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I believe she meant that. See, when you get to the end of your rope and you get to where it seems like that it's hopeless and it seems like that there's no way, it seems like you get to the top of the mountain. Have you ever noticed if you can ever get to the top of the mountain, what do you see? More mountains. It was never designed for us to stay on the mountaintop. But it was, God designed us and created us to trust Him from mountain to mountain to mountain. See, the hope can't be in what we have or our knowledge or our understanding or how many gifts that we have to provide for the things that we have. Our hope has to remain in Jesus. Hope arises in the midst of challenges. Hope arises in the midst of pain. Hope arises in the midst of uncertainty. I'm reminded when our son was 7 years old, he's almost 40 now, we got a call, said that they were rushing him to the hospital, that he had been in an accident. So we get to the hospital, we actually got there before the ambulance did. And I remember them pulling him out of the ambulance, and he was unconscious, and he had a cut on his head, and it didn't look bad. I'm thinking, well, you know, they may have to sew that up, and he's going to be okay. So we got to the waiting room, and Nancy and I, we waited, and we waited, and we waited, and we waited. And finally, the doctor came out, and he didn't have good news for us. He said, your son has suffered severe brain damage. He's paralyzed on his right side. And if the swelling doesn't go down, he may not recover. And if he does recover, he'll be a vegetable the rest of his life. We were devastated. All of a sudden there was this sense of hopelessness that came over us. A sense of, this is a challenge that I don't know that I can get through. My wife stayed by his bedside. I called everybody I knew to pray. I wasn't even serving God at the time. It wasn't long after that that I gave my life to Christ. God healed him. And now when I face uncertain times and when I face challenges, like Nancy and I are facing challenges now with her health, and I faced challenges with my health 2 years ago, and you know, it just seems like there's always a challenge, right? There's always adversity in this life. Jenny, you were so in the spirit this morning when you were talking about this. And I believe that as we were praying upstairs this morning, that I just sensed in my heart, in my spirit today, that there was going to be many people in this room today that were facing severe challenges. And you're wondering, how am I going to get through it? What am I going to do? What I do is I just think back to the impossible situation that the doctors gave up hope. Not only on my son, they said, man, you've got this wrong with you and that wrong with you and this heart and this lung and you know, you've got all these issues. I'm doing great today because I understand Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, that something good is going to come my way. We've got to start having a positive mentality. It's not a name it, claim it, but it's in a spiritual sense. Did you know sometimes your faith, even as the man said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know that story? What was he saying in that passage of Scripture? Basically, what he was saying is in his head he believed, but in his heart there was unbelief. A lot of times there's 6 inches that separates us getting our miracle. There's 6 inches. We keep it here, but if we can get it down into our heart, then all of a sudden we begin to believe, because the heart is where all of the emotions are at. So what are you facing today? The Bible says, as a Christian, that all things work together. All things work together for good. How does that work out when I'm facing a terrible crisis in my life? See, I don't understand that. I don't understand how all things can be working together when I'm seeing my 7-year-old son lay in a coma. I can't figure that one out. But somehow, in God's providence, he's daring me to believe in the most hardest circumstances of my life that he's going to get me through whatever it is I'm going through. I may fast face another mountain, but I serve the same God. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He does not change. That's why our confidence can't be in us or our pastor or our friends or our church or our community or our politicians, but our confidence and our trust must be in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. In him alone. See, when you can get to that place, that I'm going to trust God no matter what. Well, the doctor says I got cancer. I'm going to dare to believe God, he's going to heal me. I'm going to step across that line. I'm going to step across that line into the blessing that he has for me. When Paul said you got to fight the fight of faith, that's exactly what he meant. He said you got to fight the fight of faith. You can lay down for a little while. You can say, I'm not doing this anymore. You can say, I'm throwing in the towel on this or that. But the Holy Spirit inside of you is saying, get up. Though a righteous man falls down 7 times, he gets up. Look at somebody and say, you need a get up spirit. Sometimes we just got to shake ourselves We got to shake ourselves and say, I got to get up. When nobody else is there to pull you up, you just got to say, I got to get up. I've got to encourage myself. Because faith is the confidence that something good is around the corner if I just dare to believe God. If I just dare to believe Him, something good is coming. I'm not going to take the time to read Mark chapter 9. I'm going to try to paraphrase this. I was talking about it just a little bit ago, about the father who had a son. The Bible says that the son had a mute spirit. He was actually controlled by demonic forces. And the picture of this is that Jesus had just been on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And Peter, James, and John, they saw Jesus as he was transfigured. The Bible says that his clothes became white. It was blinding. It was the glory of God. The Bible says that Elijah and Moses joined Jesus and they were having a conversation, and Peter witnessed it. He wanted to build them all a house or a tent. Peter didn't know what he was saying, the Bible says. See, when we're awed by the glory of God like we were in worship today, we're speechless. We don't even know what to say. So after the transfiguration, Jesus comes down off of the mountain, and what he beholds is an argument between the scribes and the other nine disciples and a multitude there. And Jesus asked him, he said, what are you discussing with them? And then out of the crowd, the Bible says that an old man, a father of this son, who was possessed and controlled by demonic power, he said, my son has a mute spirit, Jesus. I brought him to you. He said, actually, I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't cast it out. And this is what the argument was about between the scribes and the disciples. Because the scribes were saying, well, you know what? If it's a mute spirit, you can't exorcise a demon unless it tells you what it is. Because it can't speak. See, that's what the enemy wants to do to you. He wants to close your mouth in worship. He wants to close your mouth in prayer. He wants to silence you so that you can't speak. So that you can't speak faith over your situation. So that you can't speak faith over your children. So that you can't speak faith over your marriage. He wants to silence you and make you believe that it's not going to work out. So the old man, the father, brings the son to Jesus. And before he brings the son to Jesus, he explains how the demon controls him and throws him down, and he wallows on the ground, and he foams at the mouth and all these grotesque things. And then Jesus wants to get a medical history report on him. He said, how long has he been like this? Was his daddy like this? Was his mama? Did his grandma have seizures? And this is in the midst of this little boy having a fit, like an epileptic fit. And Jesus is just watching him. How long has this been happening to him? The father said, if there's anything you can do, Jesus, have compassion on us and help us. See, it wasn't just the son that had never felt the peace of God because of this oppression, but it was the father. He said, can you have compassion on both of us? I don't know where the mom was. I don't know if she'd passed away in childbirth. The text doesn't tell us. He said, but if you could have compassion and help us. What did Jesus say? Okay, I'll do that. No, he did not. He said, I dare you to believe. If you can believe me, then all things. That's what he's saying to you today. If you can believe, all things are possible. All things. Not just some things, but all things. See, we're trying our best to get a breakthrough without believing. We may be saying, God, I need your help, but God is trying to say, I dare you to step across the line. He just throwed us the ball. What you going to do with it? You're going to just remain wallowing? Listen, this little boy had a lot more than just a video game taken away from him. So are you just going to remain wallowing in self-pity and feeling sorry? And I'm not minimizing any kind of a challenge that you may have today. But at some point in time, you got to stand up. You got to stand up and you got to fight. And you got to begin to speak the word and the promises of God. This is what faith does. It energizes us. It motivates us to believe. And this is why when we read the scripture and we read the rest of Hebrews 11 and we see all of the great heroes of faith and what they went through, and they never received the promise, but we got the promise. We've got it. If we just dare to believe. Of course, we know what happened in the story. And I love what Jesus said in verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, look what he does. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him, enter him no more. See, earlier in the text, the Father said, he has a mute, can't speak. Jesus said he's not only mute, but he's stupid. He's dumb. See, some of the things that we accept as never being able to get over, it's not good thinking. Jesus is saying, I want you to get rid of that kind of thinking. And I want you to put on the helmet of salvation this morning. See, when you put on that salvation helmet, that changes your thinking. See, when God says, I want to renew your mind, he's basically stating that I want to rewire the way you view things. I want to rewire the way that you think about things. The question is are we going to do it? Jesus says, I dare you to do it this morning. I dare you to believe me. I dare you to believe me. The spirit cried out, verse 26, convulsed him greatly. The devil was still trying to tear up this little boy, trying to kill him. And he came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many thought, oh, the little boy's dead. You know what was happening? The little boy had the peace and the presence of God, something that he had never known. You know what's interesting to me? It's when the Bible says, when Jesus asked him, how long has he been like this? The man said, from childhood. I think in the text, David, really, he was an older child, maybe even a young adult. So for years and years and years, he had been plagued with this, never known the peace and the presence of Jesus Christ. Never known it. Jesus took him by the hand. And he lifted him up, and he arose. What a celebratory moment for a dad who had faced years of trying to take care of his son like this. What a celebratory moment for a son who had been plagued with the devil trying to take him out. He's trying to take many of you out today. But I want you to know that the champion is in the ring today. He holds the title deed that he wants to hand over to you today. The assurance and the confidence that as a child of the living God, that you're going to make it. You're going to make it if you will just believe. I want to sing you a song. Do I have time to do that, Pastor Lance? Can I get a swallow of that water down there, Vince? I don't know why my mouth is so dry today. As I've been thinking about, I'm going to try to get this set up real quick. As I've been thinking about all that's been going on and just the hopelessness in our world that's going on, and really at the end of the day, people just need Jesus, right? Feels pretty good to be back up here preaching a little bit. It's been a while. I was just thinking about just the tragedy, what's been happening. Just another school shooting this week. I mean, people need the peace of God so bad. You know, many times we're just trying to figure out, where can I get away to try to get away from all this chaos? It just hit me as I got to thinking about this, that really we don't have to go to Hawaii or Cancun. Well, we probably don't want to go to Hawaii right now, but to Cancun or some island to try to get away. There's a peaceful place that's in Jesus Christ. And this song, that is not about heaven, but it's about Jesus being that peaceful place that we can go to. I just sit down and I wrote it just a few days ago, and I wanted to do it because it tied in so well with what I was talking about today. And I don't even think the ink's dry on the paper yet. But I'm going to try to do it.
Calm my fears. You give me strength. Just receive His strength today. You give me strength. Your gentle voice whispers, come, as I draw close. I'm overwhelmed by Your presence, Lord. Your presence,
just pray for you real quick, if you could stand. Thank you, Jesus.